Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, your evangelization traffic cop. I say that because there's so much happening in this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. So many opportunities, so many things happening. We got a full show today for you every week. I mean, it's not a matter of finding people to talk to. It's a matter of, you know, how much can we get in here? Because there's just so much going on. And we've got some big announcements, some big events taking place tomorrow in the Twin Cities. Going to give you a few mark your calendar things, so you might want to get your pen out. Today on the show, we're going to be talking with Jeremy Stanberg. There is a new play down at the Open Window Theater. Have you been down there? I mean, Jeremy Stanberry is doing an amazing job with his crew down there at the Open Window Theater. That's just on the west side of downtown Minneapolis, right off of 94 there. And they've got a new play called Sister Calling My Name. And I'm telling you what, I'm hearing unbelievable things from everybody that I talk to. And I think that is going to be the hot ticket in the next month or so here. And you might have to work to get one of those. But we're going to be talking with Jeremy in just a few minutes. Also, how many of you guys have heard of the Argument of the Month Club? You'd think, you know, after a busy day, the last thing you'd want to do is go argue with a bunch of guys. But it's taking off. And we're going to talk to the founder, Kent Wuchterl. And he'll come here. He's going to be with us in just a little bit. And I'm going to find out what's the beef, you know? I mean, what are they arguing about down there? And how productive is it? Because I hear there's a lot of good things happening. There's also a big conference starting today at the St. Paul Hotel. And it is a kind of a scholars conference. And it's honoring the 25th anniversary of Ex Corde Ecclesia, which is a document that these scholars are going to be talking about, dealing with the universities, Catholic universities and colleges. And by the way, that starts today. That's Friday the 23rd. It starts at about 3:00 this afternoon. You're invited if you want to go. We'll be talking about that in just a few minutes also. But I got to tell you one of the biggest things happening in the Twin Cities this weekend, if not the biggest thing happening this weekend, is going to be the Archdiocesan Youth Day. That's right, the Archdiocesan Youth Day takes place tomorrow, and that's going to be going from roughly 1 to 9, 1 in the afternoon to 9, and it is going to take place downtown St. Paul. And I want you to really seriously think about getting your teenagers there. It's from, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th and 12th grade. They're all invited. They really got some great speakers. And it's just a rare opportunity for our teenagers to get together. If you're a DRE, that means a director of religious education in a parish, if you're a youth minister and you're not signed up for that right now, really, call Gene Stolpelstad down at the family office at the Archdiocese and find out how can I get my kids down there? Can I still get them down there? Because this is a rare opportunity. We don't get this all of the time. If you're a grandparent, call up your kids and tell them, hey, I'll bring them down there myself. I'll bring them down there myself. I'll pay for it myself. It's only $15 a student. So get them signed up for the Archdiocesan Youth Day. That's tomorrow. And that's going to be a great conference. But on top of that, listen to this. I got an opportunity for you. Calling all men. And wives, moms, maybe your husband, maybe dad's not listening right now. You take a couple of notes here. We've got something tomorrow related to this Archdiocesan Youth Day that's remarkable. It's the first offering of our offering from the Office of Evangelization called Keepers of the Fire. Keepers of the Fire. And here's how it goes. We've got from 1:00 to 9:00 on Saturday, we've got a fire that's going to be built at two locations, an outdoor fire. One is at Transfiguration. We're at Transfiguration, and Transfiguration is over in Oakdale, and they are going to do a great job. They build a fire, and men sign up from 1 to 9 to pray for the kids that are going through the Archdiocesan Youth Day. That's right. And in fact, we even have special cards made for the men who gather on how to pray for their sons and daughters during that time. Wouldn't that mean a lot to as a teenager? I mean, think about it for a moment. Wouldn't it mean a lot to know that dad is praying for me with a bunch of other friends of his, praying for me as I am actually going through a conference? Wow. So the two locations for the Keepers of the Fire are Transfiguration in Oakdale, and the other place is All Saints. All Saints. Father Wilson is doing a great job out there. Father Bear, of course, at Transfiguration. But All Saints is in Lakeville. And both of them are going to start at 1 o'clock tomorrow and go to 9 o'clock. That's Saturday the 24th. If you're a guy, you got kids, go and pray. They're going to stand around a fire. We're going to have a great big fire. And, you know, some of the guys will stand around with their coffee. And I imagine there's going to be a few stogies there. And they're going to be standing around talking. And we have a leader for each hour that's going to lead the men in prayer for their kids. And that's going to be a great, great opportunity. You're going to hear a lot more about Keepers of the Fire in the future here in the Twin Cities, because we are establishing these Keepers of the Fire vigils, 24-hour vigils in some cases, at schools around the Twin Cities to pray for the kids for the school year. And it's going to be exciting. So keep that in mind. Keepers of the Fire. Another couple of things you need to put on the old watch list. One of them is the men's conference coming up. That's Saturday, February 27th. At St. Thomas University from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. That's the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. And we've got a huge movement that we're going to be rolling out in February. Ladies, listen, if your husband is at work right now or your son or whatever, you put this on the calendar. It's called the Catholic Watchman. That's going to be the overarching title of everything that we're going to be doing with men in the Archdiocese. It's the Catholic Watchman. It's men learning to provide, protect, and lead their families. And do we, I'm telling you, it's exciting. It really is exciting. And I wish we could spend all day talking about this with you. And in the shows coming up, we're going to start to talk about aspects of the Catholic Watchman that I think you're going to really enjoy. But put it on your calendar, February 27th. It's not just a one and out conference. It's going to be the beginning of a movement that involves fathers reading the Bible to their children, fathers praying for their children and their families, and also fathers praying for their parishes, too, and for personal holiness. Really, really exciting. Also, the Women's Conference, Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, that's going to be taking place Saturday, February 6th. At Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. Put that on your calendar, Women in the New Evangelization. You can find out all about these things that I'm mentioning at archspm.org or go to rediscover-faith.org. Lots of good stuff happening in the Archdiocese. But I hope you're having a good day. I do, and I hope that you have that sense of walking with Jesus Christ today. Today is not just another common day. It isn't. If the Lord is with you, it's not just a common day. It's an extraordinary day. And it's an extraordinary opportunity for Christ to move through you and to bless other people and for you to be a blessing to the world. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jeremy Stanberry, Sister Calling My Name. It's the new play at Open Window Theater. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Drop the kids off at school, hurry to the meeting, run afternoon errands, return to school, and then back home. Your days are way too busy to have to worry about your tires. So look to Bridgestone and Firestone for tires that can help keep you on the go. With innovative Bridgestone or durable, dependable Firestone tires on your car, truck, SUV, or minivan, you'll get through your day with confidence. And then maybe even enjoy a little me time. Bridgestone and Firestone tires. Available at
Westside Tire has tires, brakes, and alignment services for your car, truck, or SUV to you on the go.
As the end of this season approaches, you can count on the champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes for your car, truck, SUV, and crossover to fit every season. Come and see the team at Westside Tire for whatever the road throws at you. Tires for every vehicle are available now at Westside Tire, just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
In the morning when I rise, help me need to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. In the course of everyday living, you find every combination of trial and trouble and hope and victory and triumph. You name it, your life probably has all those colors on the palette. There's some days that are very, very glorious and joyful, and some days that are very, very sorrowful. Kind of like the mysteries of the rosary. Maybe the rosary is wrapped up in all of our lives. I know it is in mine, and we're going to talk now with Jeremy Stanberry, who is a man who is acquainted with many lives, because not only does he have his own, but he has been other people too. What is he? He's an actor. He's a very good actor, and he's had the opportunity to slip inside the minds and the experiences of other people and to feel that and to pass that on to you. And he has now hit another grand slam with Sister Calling My Name, which is opening up now at Open Window Theater. And everybody that I talk to is saying, this one has surpassed all of them. And maybe they say that about all of them, but maybe it has. Welcome to the show, Jeremy Stanberry, no stranger in the Twin Cities. How are you?
Thanks, Jeff. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, it's always good to talk to you. And I remember last time I was down there, I was helping you with your kind of your gala, and just the excitement down there is contagious, what's happening. It's a small theater on the western side of downtown, but so much happens there, and you influence so many people. How have you been doing?
Yeah, doing well. You know, we're plugging away. We're into our fifth season. Sister Calling My Name is kicking off our fifth full season of shows at Open Window. And I mean, it's just remarkable that we've been around for four full seasons now, going into five. And it's just, you know, we just praise God each season that we survive and keep going. But we actually went through an expansion and renovation project this summer. And so our growth is really remarkable as well. It's a true gift from God. You know, we are a sign of contradiction in the theater and arts community, because, you know, we're growing and we're thriving as a young nonprofit theater without having received a single arts grant to date. And so most theaters, especially those that have their own physical space, rely heavily on arts grants to survive. We're trying to break into that world, but I think our Christian mission and what we're about probably puts us at a disadvantage to secular grants. But it's a struggle to survive season to season, but you know, but God is blessing this work, and it's really exciting what we have going on down there.
So your expansion, is that mainly with like seating?
The seating and the theater space. We acquired more space in the building when it became available, adjacent space to the theater. We started off with just the theater space, and then we added office space a couple years later down the hall, and now we've acquired the space in between the theater and office, so we're all connected now, about 7,500 square feet now of space. We were able to break down some walls, expand our theater and lobby, expand our seating, and add a scene shop and some additional backstage and storage space, and connect everything. And it's such a blessing.
Jeremy, for new people that maybe they haven't heard of you or heard of Open Window Theater, what are some of the plays that you have put on in the past where they jog their memory and say, oh, I know who you're talking about now?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, what really drives our mission is what we call a redemptive mission in the arts. And so, you know, we do a lot of plays that have either explicit or implicit Catholic themes, because that's really what inspires me in my artistry. St. John Paul II's letter to artists has been a great inspiration for me over the years. And so some of the Catholic plays that we've done that people might be more familiar with are A Man for All Seasons, a great classic about St. Thomas More. My own original production called Mercy Unrelenting, about the story of the martyrdom of St. Maria Goretti and the conversion of her murderer, Alessandro. I had a popular traveling one-man show on that same story and topic for many years with Epiphany Studio Productions, the parent organization for Open Window and our traveling arm of what we do. But, you know, I developed that into a full-length play, a full ensemble cast, and that was very successful. We did that back-to-back. We've done, Shadowlands, which was about a true story of C.S. Lewis, which is a great show. So, yeah, we've done just some fabulous plays in the last 4 years, and I know we've had a number of Relevant Radio listeners come out and become regular patrons.
Well, I would imagine with productions about C.S. Lewis and others that you're you're gathering not just a Catholic crowd. You're gathering Christians. You're gathering people who may not even be calling themselves a Christian, but they're fascinated by some of the titles and what they're hearing about the theater.
Absolutely. And that's been one of the most exciting things about what we're doing, is that from the beginning we've had this goal, this hope, you know, that our mission would reach beyond the Catholic and Christian communities, although that is our base of support and a really important base of support. And we want to be, and we are becoming, the home for Catholics and Christians in the Twin Cities for live performing arts entertainment. But, you know, part of the success of our mission is that we've been able to reach well beyond the Christian community as well, which is so, so important. You know, we need to be that leaven. Sure. We need to be that light in the darkness and evangelize the culture. And we've been able to, had the ability to do that. We have a strong Catholic and non-Catholic Christian base of supporters, but you know, we have a lot of people without faith that come check us out, and we've had a lot of secular reviewers come in, a lot of secular theater critics come in and review us very positively, and they appreciate how thought-provoking our shows are.
Well, I would encourage all of our listeners to, I mean, not only just send a few bucks your way, you know, to support this, because we got to support the Catholic arts, and I feel this way about not only theater, but I feel this way about music, and I feel this way about the fine arts too, is that as Catholics, as years ago, we need to support the artists, because art really says something to people. And I really believe, Jeremy, and I know that you understand this even more than I do, that theater has a way of reaching into the soul of the observer and doing things that a conversation or a teaching can't do.
Absolutely. You know, what's so beautiful about the theater and live theater is that it combines all art forms into one. And it does. It has the ability to reach the mind, heart, and soul, the entire person, in ways that nothing else can. You know, we have, again, a lot of secular people that come see our shows that you will not find in church. You will not find them listening to a Catholic speaker or going to a conference or, you know, or being evangelized in any other way. And they're coming to our shows and they're being impacted by art and in powerful ways. And I really appreciate you saying that, because, yeah, it doesn't just magically support itself.
No, we're a body of Christ. We've got to support each other. Right. And so I do. I really mean that. If you got a few extra bucks, throw them over to Open Window Theater. Maybe you open up your window this afternoon. People just drive by
and just throw in
a few dollars. But your new offering, let's talk about that for a few minutes. Sister Calling My Name. I've read the review on this. I think this is different than anything you've ever done before. And it is very powerful, very complex. Give us kind of a synopsis of Sister Calling My Name.
Yeah, it is a complex and gripping show. When I first read it, I was moved to tears, and I thought, we have to do this. We have to do it as soon as possible. And it's not a published play. The playwright has never had it published, but it did win the National Play Award in 1996. And it's been performed in professional theater houses all across the country and in Canada as well. And thankfully, I heard about the script from somebody else, contacted the playwright. He sent me a copy, and it's a beautiful, powerful show and very, very Catholic in nature. And it centers around, it's just a three-person cast, and it centers around this woman who's mentally disabled or developmentally disabled. Her clinical diagnosis in the show is a severe mental retardation and schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. Now, retardation is no longer a clinical diagnosis, but it was at the time that this play was written. And in fact, that character is based on the playwright's own real-life sister, older sister. And it centers around her having become a recognized artist in the secular art world. Her mentor and caretaker is a Catholic nun, Sister Anne, who started off doing art therapy with her. And it turns out, you know, she was a prodigy, an artistic savant, and has become well recognized. Her paintings are now worth thousands of dollars. And so Sister Anne tries to get her brother, my character, Michael, involved in Lindsay's life again, with the idea that, you know, a family member needs to get involved to legally decide what to do with all this money that her paintings are creating, right? But Michael has been separated from Lindsay. It was a self-willed separation for about 18 years now. He had some traumatic experiences with her growing up in their childhood, and So he once she became a ward of the state, he separated himself and has wanted nothing to do with her since then. He has devalued her worth as a person and does not view her as having really any human dignity.
Wow.
And so Sister Anne, interestingly enough, and this is what adds some of the complexity and emotional charge in the show, was Michael's high school sweetheart.
I was going to say, they used to have a relationship.
Exactly, yep. So prior to her, you know, choosing the religious vocation, in fact, there's a scene in the show, a really remarkable scene in the show, their breakup scene, where, because the show is, it's a memory play, so there's flashbacks all throughout. Michael kind of narrates the play, but there's a breakup scene in the show, a flashback scene of Anne choosing her religious vocation, choosing God over Michael as much as she loved him as well. But they grew up together as kids, and so, you know, she's trying to get him reinvolved in Lindsay's life, and that's where a lot of the dramatic tension takes place in the show, and it's just incredible, beautifully, and
what one point, itself. As you read that script and decided, you know, we're going to bring this to the Twin Cities, what were one or two things that went through your mind that you thought, this is really the nugget of this presentation that I think other people need to hear it.
Yeah. Well, one, it has to be really well written, which this show is. And two, it has to have, you know, elements of relevance in the culture and society today. And two of those items of relevance in this play that I think really needed to be told, the story needed to be told, is one, it deals with faith and doubt, I think, in a really important way. Michael has not only rejected his sister, he has rejected God because of the sufferings in his life brought about by his sister. And so this play deals with faith and doubt, but from a perspective of someone who has rejected faith and rejected God because of suffering. And I think that happens a lot. That happens with a lot of people that consciously reject God. It's usually because of some suffering or trauma in their life, and they say, how could there be a good and loving God?
Sure. Unanswered questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so so it deals with that, which I think is so important. You know, one of the things, of course, that is a common experience among humanity, no matter your background, is suffering and trying to make sense and have meaning in suffering. The play grapples with that, I think, in a beautiful way, but also the dignity of the human person.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know today, you know, the dignity of the human person in so many areas and so many realms is being not just attacked, but very much devalued in a variety of ways. And so this play deals with that, I think, in a beautiful fashion. At one of our talkbacks we had the playwright join us last weekend for opening weekend, and we had talkbacks after our two Saturday performances last Saturday. And one of the questions we got after one of those talkbacks was, you know, I think somebody coming from a non-faith perspective background said, you know, could this play be done without the Catholic elements? You know, could this play be done, this story be told without that? I said, well, theoretically, yeah. And I said, but I think one of the reasons why it works so well within a Catholic context, and why I think it's even more thought-provoking in that way, it needs to be told in that way, is that, you know, if we think that human dignity and human rights are man-made and come from man, then they can be taken away
mm-hmm.
by the same, you know, people that but I said, you know, our very nation is founded on the idea that we have inalienable rights and dignity that come from God and therefore can't be taken away. And I said, you know, I said the perspective of faith is the only thing that guards and guarantees that dignity that comes from God alone that can't be taken away by men. And I said, this play deals with that in a thought-provoking way.
That's beautiful. Talking with Jeremy Stanberry. He is the creator of and actor in Open Window Theater. Jeremy, we only have about a minute or so left. The play is called Sister Calling My Name. It actually opened up October 16th, but I want to kind of light a fire under people because this isn't going for months and months and months. This is only going to November 1st, am I right?
Right.
That means how many performances are we looking at?
Yeah, we're in the midst of weekend number two. We only have one weekend after this one, and we're packing them in. You know, we're doing two performances this Saturday. We have a show tonight, two on Saturday, one on Sunday, and then our closing weekend We're packing them in as well. But it's a very limited time frame. We usually do 5-week runs of our shows, but this is just a 3-week run because we ran into some delays with our expansion work this summer. And so we had to push back and condense the run of this fall show.
You still have room, though, for people to show up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can go online to our website, openwindowtheater.org, to get tickets or call our box office. The number's on our website. And we really encourage people to do that. Come out, support your professional, your local professional Catholic theater. And there's an entire Decade of the Rosary prayed in this play on stage. This play has been performed in large secular equity houses, professional theaters across the country, and it's so cool because there's an entire Decade of the Rosary that's played.
So the URL again, the website is?
Openwindowtheater.org.
Openwindowtheater.org. My friends, go there today. In fact, I'm going to predict right now this morning we're going to sell this thing out, but it's going to be you that buys it because you're listening to the show. One of the advantages of listening to the Rediscover Hour. But Jeremy, thank you so much, and we always enjoy talking to you, and blessings on your work, and we want to bring you back regularly to find out what you're doing. And like I said, folks, you got a few extra dollars, drive by that open window, throw the money in, because we need to support our artists. You know, you might have gone to a couple of plays and thought, boy, I sure hope they stick around. Maybe you have an extra $100,000, $500,000, $10,000. Give it. Make it work. Make it work for you. Plant it in the kingdom of God, and it will have eternal rewards. It'll be eternally fruitful. Jeremy, good to see you.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Joe.
You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Argument of the Month Club with guys. We're going to find out what the big beef is with these guys. Why are they arguing all the time, and who's winning? That's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour.
Finding a company like A.J. Albert's Plumbing with two generations of experience and reliability can help you turn your plumbing project into a one-stop process. Remodeling or updating a bathroom is easy with a call to A.J. Albert's Plumbing.
I'm Matt Alberts of A.J. Albert's Plumbing. Our family business is a Relevant Radio sponsor because of the values we share. If plumbing needs arise in your home or you'd like to quickly and painlessly upgrade a bathroom, I hope you'll contact us at A.J. Albert's Plumbing. You can visit our showroom or we'll come to your home.
For a bathroom remodel, water heater, or fixes throughout your home, benefit from the visit of a reliable plumber. Contact A.J. Albert's Plumbing at 651-738-0580.
Make sure when you call to let us know that you are a Relevant Radio listener for discounts on fixtures or improvements. 651-738-0580. 651-738-0580. For two generations, A.J. Albert's Plumbing, there is a difference.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Beautiful fall in Minnesota. Love those colors, don't you? Take a ride up on the northern shore and see those beautiful colors. The landscape is changing. I'm not naive enough to believe that our lives are not changing. All of our lives are changing in one way or another. We're all getting a little bit older. But you know what? As you get older, don't the colors become a little bit more beautiful? The longer you're married, doesn't your marriage get just a little bit more beautiful? I think that's the way God has created it. You might want to tell your spouse today, you know what, honey? You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Sometimes in marriages, though, people argue. You know, they argue. And we have a ministry in the Twin Cities that has brought arguing to a whole new level of ministry. That's right. They argue. They argue with one another, and I don't think it's as bad as it sounds, but they are the Argument of the Month Club. Maybe you've heard about them. It's a bunch of guys that have been getting together, and Kent Wuchterl is the one who has put this together. They've been going for several years now, and it's a Catholic men's lay apostolate in St. Paul, and we're going to find out about it. We're not going to argue about it. We're just going to talk about it. Kent, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, Jeff, for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I've been hearing about the Argument of the Month Club for quite some time, and you hear guys talking about it. What's the beef?
Well, we talk about all the different controversial issues. We wanted a different way to present the Catholic faith, to do Catholic apologetics, to explain and defend the faith, but do it around things that were in the news. We kind of I was I was doing different apologetic courses since 2000. Actually, we started the argument of the month and around the year 2000 in the back of the St. Clair Broiler over in St. Paul, which is about six guys. And we were taking the different sides of your traditional apologetic topics. And, you know, defending the Eucharist, defending, you know, the confession and all the different sacraments, and trying to learn how to argue those. But we went over to St. Helena, and we started having speakers come in and giving us the arguments for different apologetic topics. But I noticed that we were only getting, you know, going to a certain level. We weren't really reaching out to the average guy that wasn't, you know, doesn't normally come to, say, a church event.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was listening to what they were, watching what they were doing on talk radio, and they were going through all the different hot topics of the day. And there were so many cultural issues that were touching upon our faith, and where our faith needed to be defended. And so I thought, well, what a great idea. Why don't we take some of those hot-button issues and actually apply our Catholic faith to it and have a debate on it?
What are some of those issues, Kent?
The Crusades. We talk about the Crusades. We talk about, you know, there's so much controversy about the Crusades and how it, you know, and plus Islam, too. There's all these different issues surrounding Islam and Christianity. Talk about intelligent design. Get it into creationism. There's a huge debate on creationism because a lot of people think if you are for evolution that you're denying part of our faith. You're denying what's being written in the gospel.
So do you bring in opponents to some of these topics? Bring them in and set them in the middle of the theological octagon?
Yeah, absolutely, we do. Yes, that's what we try to do for most of the season. We run October through May. We skip December. It's always the second Tuesday, and we bring those speakers in to present their arguments, and we give try to give both sides of the story, and so that men can really learn the arguments back and forth.
Sure.
and understand it much more fully.
Do any of your guests tap out?
Yes, they do. Yeah, we had John. We brought in John Salza to argue to do a debate on Freemasonry, and the Freemasons never showed. Went through three different opponents, uh-huh. And they all ended up backing out.
They all tapped out, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
that is interesting. How many guys come to this every month?
We average right around between 350 and 400 guys every month.
What do you hear from them? You know, I imagine some of these guys have never heard these types of arguments before about these issues.
Yes, yeah, no, they absolutely love it because, you know, it's one of the greatest things about the event, too, besides learning the faith, is it's a fellowship that takes place. We're mixing a lot of people that normally would not get into the same room with one another and talk with one another. And I'm talking just even different spectrums across the Catholic sphere. You have a lot of different groups within Catholicism these days. You know, everybody uses the terms liberal and conservatives, traditionalists, but a lot of those people now come together and they talk with each other in a great setting where being able to for a social hour sit around, have drinks and appetizers, and then, you know, sit over a meal and talk right before the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, be able then to hear it, and they absolutely love it. They get you know, the friendships that have been made. We have a number of guys who have converted to Catholicism because of what they've heard and what they've experienced.
So if you bring in somebody that's going to give the opposing side of, say, you know, evolution or something like that, how many guys on the Catholic side who are going to argue for what the Church teaches, how many of them are opposing the other person? Is it one, or is it a committee? Is it a group? Or can anyone come up to a mic and say something?
Yeah, well, we always involve the audience about halfway through the event.
Okay.
So it's much just like, instead of calling into like a radio show, you're there, and we kind of run around the hall with microphones, kind of Phil Donahue style, and you know, get the microphone in your face, and then you can go ahead and do a little arguing yourself with the people up front.
Well, I imagine if you put an arm bar on an atheist and he taps out, it could be a little bit embarrassing. Is there any healing afterwards? Do you come together and it's like, you know, treating each other with dignity?
Oh, yeah. There's a, I think that this is kind of like a lost art in our day. People always hear the word argument, but we forget that our Catholic fathers, that they did a lot of that. In the past, the church did a lot of arguing for the truth, and I think that's one of the things that we're trying to help guys with, is that knowing that it's okay to argue, that it's actually a very good thing to stand up and defend your faith. And it's always, the events are always held in very good humor.
Sure.
We've had atheists come in from MinnesotaAtheists.org. They've come in like three times and enjoyed themselves a lot. And we haven't agreed, but everything's been done in a lot of good spirit, a lot of good humor. And you know, everything's. We've never had any problems at the argument of the month with that. And
you know, I went to Greece one time, and they have Mars Hill, and Mars Hill was a place where everyone gathered to debate and talk and hear the, you know, the latest. And it sounds like you're kind of a modern Mars Hill. We can say, let's talk about this topic. You know, let's debate this topic and bring in the opposing side and really hash through this. Kind of reminds me of what C.S. Lewis and his friends went through too with Inklings. You know, they got together and they would talk about these issues at the pub, and you guys are doing it at a whole new level here.
Right. And I think it's really important too that guys know that it's okay to be a little bit passionate. Guys can get passionate about stuff and not hate each other, and just feel strongly about the principles that you hold. And you know, I think as we know, a lot of our society has been very feminized. The masculine has really been downplayed, and I think this is really helping to restore some of that and give guys, we're trying to really also help bring back a sense of Catholic identity, to be proud of your faith and not have to feel like you have to apologize everywhere you go for
sure.
Being Catholic.
And I make light with the Octagon, but in all seriousness, I know that you conduct these debates treating other people with great dignity, and that there's no ad hominem, you're not attacking a person, but you're really going after the idea itself and discussing that. But let's get back to one thing. Talk to me a little bit more about the food, because that kind of caught my attention there.
Yeah, we try to serve some you know, something that guys would really really love to have, and I've tried to make sure that the food you know, we had plenty of it, and that it was done in a way that guys didn't have to worry about. We don't hold back on any of the fat or the cholesterol. We don't worry about that sort of thing. We worry about flavor.
Okay, now when's the next one?
Flavor and quantity. So there's plenty of it. Last thing we want to do, just like in, you know, the story of the wedding feast of Cana, we don't want to run out. So make sure there's plenty there. And, you know, we're doing all kinds of very, very manly, meat-heavy meals. A lot of roasted pork and barbecues and that sort of thing. So, you know, we try to also, too, to make sure that we have a wide variety of different of different beers, you know, craft beers and stuff like that. That's become pretty popular in the Twin Cities. So it's like,
let me give you a little advice here. Do not do a debate by bringing a dietitian in. All right. Do not do that. Stick to theology here.
And everybody's sitting there chewing on bacon, right?
Yeah. It's your own mini state fair right there.
Right.
Hey, so tell me how guys can join you. What's the next one? What's the date? What's the topic? Do you have that set up yet?
Yes. Our next one is actually, we'd like to do a... it's part of our Restoring Catholic Identity, Understanding Catholic History. And we're trying to bring in a topic that has a lot to do with maybe some of the issues that we're dealing with today, loss of religious freedom. We're going to be talking about the War of the Vendée, which took place during the French Revolution. And we got Christopher Check coming in, the president of Catholic Answers, to come in and tell the story. He's done it multiple times. He's an awesome, awesome speaker, great storyteller. And that's going to be on Tuesday, November 10th. And our events start at 5:30. We have Mass. We have the old traditional Tridentine Mass upstairs in the church at St. Augustine's in South St. Paul. And that starts at 5:30. And then come downstairs right afterwards at 6 o'clock for appetizers, and or I'll be having a great Italian meal that that night, and yeah, and come on down, and he's going to be explaining all the ins and outs and all the different the Catholic persecution that took place, and the story is really exciting because it tends to lend itself to what we're seeing happening and feeling starting to come across sure. in our culture with the squashing of a lot of our religious freedoms and the turmoil.
I appreciate you joining us on the Rediscover Hour today, and I'd love to get together and talk to you. We got our big men's conference coming up on the 27th of February, and we're hoping to really begin a movement. We'd like you guys to be a part of it and feature you and let guys know all about what's happening with the Argument of the Month Club. So you and I can grab a cup of coffee.
All right. Sounds great.
Sound good? That's fantastic. Kent Wuchterl, and he is the founder, and he's the one that's running the Argument of the Month Club. It's guys getting together to talk seriously in the theological octagon about issues, theological issues, life issues. And the next one is Tuesday, November 10th at St. Augustine's, and that starts at 5:30 with Mass, 6 o'clock with drinks and hors d'oeuvres, and then at 7 o'clock, the main event. Actually, the main event was Mass. This would be a less than a main event, but it's a big event. So, Kent, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much.
Yep, take care. Thanks.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a beautiful, big scholars conference, Catholic Scholars Conference here in the Twin Cities. Starts this afternoon, and it's going to be focusing on the 25th anniversary of Ex Corde Ecclesia. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover.
Alongside Services 2 has been providing quality person-centered services to individuals living in their group homes for over 14 years, and now they need additional staff.
I'm Matt Hannon with Alongside Services. If you have a caring, patient attitude and want to work for a company whose sole purpose is to help those that need our care, consider a job change or a new experience that provides purposeful work while caring for others. Alongside Services 2 could be for you. The opportunities include working part-time or full-time as a direct care mentor, a team lead, or a house supervisor. We have opportunities in Chanhassen, Chaska, and Watertown, Minnesota, with a variety of afternoon, evening, overnight, and weekend schedules available.
Previous experience is not required. Paid training and room for advancement within Alongside Services 2 is included. Make a difference. Serve and be a positive influence in the lives of those who need your help. For more information or to apply, call Matt Hannon at 952-388-1177 or alongsideservices.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Well, we've had a good show so far, talking with Jeremy Stanberry about Open Window Theater and Kent Wuchterl about the Argument of the Month Club for Men. You can find out about all these things by going to the website rediscoverfaith.org. And, of course, this is Relevant Radio, and these broadcasts will be rebroadcast, and you can pass them on to friends. Another big conference taking place Friday the 23rd. That's today. If you're listening on Saturday or Sunday, you still might be able to get on Saturday, but Sunday you can learn more about our universities and colleges. You know, the Catholic Church is so big and so wonderful that they think about everything, and one of them is our campuses. It's our college campuses and our universities. And the Catholic Church says that if we're going to have a Catholic university or campus, there are certain things that you must keep in mind if we're going to pass on the faith to young people today. 25 years ago, there was a document written. It was Ex Corde Ecclesia, and it spoke about evangelization in relation to colleges and universities and how we go about being Catholic on campuses. Well, the Twin Cities is the host of the Catholic Scholars Conference, and that's at the St. Paul Hotel starting today, Friday, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the main organizer is Father Joseph Kotarski, and he joins us right now to tell us a little bit about this fantastic conference that is brought to the Twin Cities. Father Joseph, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I hope I got your last name right there.
Kuczynski. It's a Polish name, although nowadays I'm in New York City teaching at Fordham University.
That's right. You are an associate professor of philosophy at Fordham University, the Jesuit University of New York, and also a Jesuit priest of the Maryland province of the Society of Jesus. Tell us a little bit about this conference that's coming to the Twin Cities. What's the main focus of this conference, which starts this afternoon?
The focus is on how to do the new evangelization on college and university campuses. So we have both a number of scholars from some of the American Catholic universities, but we also have some representatives from institutions like FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and then we also have some wonderful of the campus ministry coming up from the University of Texas A&M, where they have a particularly wonderful campus ministry outreach. So we've got those practical speakers as well as people who are from academic disciplines.
Who now? What type of person would be interested in this conference? The fact that we call it a Catholic Scholars Conference, does that mean that only educators and scholars would be interested, or is it open to the public?
It is open to the public. Our membership would be of people who have terminal degrees and who teach or are administrators at a college or a university. But we are happy to have the general public come if they're interested in this, and we expect to see a fair number here from the Twin Cities area.
Father, can you give us kind of the cliff note version of Excordia Ecclesia? What's the heart, what's the message of that document? We're celebrating 25 years now. For those that are not familiar with the document that speaks about colleges and universities, what's the heart of it?
I believe the heart of it is that our Catholic colleges and universities need to remain explicitly Catholic in order to serve the church that supports them. I think the document was written in light of the fact that many Catholic colleges and universities are increasingly less Catholic as they try to imitate their secular counterparts. So this document was a call at the various levels that a college or a university operates to return to its Catholic roots, not only in the teaching of philosophy and theology in a Catholic way, but also to be alert across the disciplines to the challenges that are religious in nature, that face those various disciplines, the sciences, for instance, or business, and also to think about a Catholic culture in the residential system where students live, where their formation, their education is not only in the classroom, but also on the campus. So it's an official summons by the church for those institutions to maintain, or if necessary, to recover their Catholicism.
You know, a lot of we hear, I'm sure you've heard, and I've heard from a lot of parents who want to send their kids to a Catholic college around the country, but they're concerned that the school has lost its flavor, that it's lost its salt, if you will, and it is looking more and more like a state college. And they're asking people like you, and they're asking their bishops and other educators, what can we do as parents to try to ensure that our universities and our colleges remain faithful to the teachings of the church? I think a lot of parents feel a little helpless. What do you tell them when they speak to you?
You know, I would make a distinction, and the distinction I'd make is this, of what the college or the university can do on the one hand and what the parents can do on the other. I think it's really up to the people who are at the colleges and the universities to hire Catholic faculty, because governance of colleges and universities is from within. It's not governed by pressure groups from without. So there, I think what we have to do is to really put the burden on people at the universities to step up to the plate and to keep their curriculum and to keep their faculties Catholic. But I think there is something that parents can do, because I do not for one believe that all or even most of education takes place in schools. I think much of it takes place in church and in home. And so what a Catholic family, what Catholic parents need to do from the beginning is to get their children very much committed to the parish life and to the religious life. And then even as they get older, going through grade school and through high school, is indeed to make sure that they get a good, solid Catholic education there. Then when they get to the university, if they go to a Catholic school, I think the best thing a parent can do is to help students figure out who the Catholic faculty are. Uh-huh. I'm always very pleased when parents call me because their son or daughter is going to be coming to Fordham. And, you know, there's ways to look out for them if we can identify one another. So I'm so grateful when they can make the contact. And there's lots of such people at all the schools around this country.
Well, I appreciate that so much, Father. And I'm going to give the information here on how people can find out more about the conference, which starts today, this afternoon, and then goes all the way through tomorrow with a dinner tomorrow night. But
we'll be
Sunday morning. You're right, and we'll be praying for you. I'm going to ask all the people in the Twin Cities to pray for you, and for the conference, that it will be productive and fruitful, and that the Lord will be honored in all that you do. So thanks for joining us, Father.
Well, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. That's Father Joseph Kotarski, and he's the main organizer for the Catholic Scholars Conference, which is taking place in the Twin Cities at the St. Paul Hotel. And I'm going to give you the website here and a phone number in just a second if you want to know more about this conference, which focuses on the 25th anniversary of Ex Cordia Ecclesia, which is a document that really gives the guidelines on what is a Catholic university, what is a Catholic college, and sounds like there's going to be some very good representatives there. We've got Focus, Texas A&M is going to be here, and a number of groups who are concerned about this. Maybe you're concerned about it. Are you concerned that our Catholic colleges remain Catholic? Are you concerned? This might be something that you can attend. And if you can't attend it because of your schedule, maybe you can pray for them. Maybe tonight you can go to one of our 48, 49, 50 chapels around the Twin Cities that's 24/7 adoration, and maybe you can do a holy hour tonight and pray for this conference, because the conference is not just a bunch of scholars getting together and talking about things they already know. They're trying to push something forward, and that is, let's keep our Catholic schools Catholic. Let's keep our universities Catholic and our colleges Catholic. So here's the contact information if you think that you or somebody else might want to come to this conference today. That is the Catholic Scholars Conference. Here's the phone number. It's 484-693-0620. I'll give you that again. It's 484-693-0620. And here's the website, www.catholicscholars.org. That's www.catholicscholars.org. And if you do go there, you know, give us an email later and tell us what your experience was like. Maybe we'll have you on the show and do a little bit of a follow-up. Well, Paul, once again, the show is filled with so many good things in the Twin Cities, and that's really just touching the surface.
Yep. How are you on your pronunciation of Italian pasta?
Good. I don't know. I don't eat a lot.
Okay, mastaccioli?
Mastaccioli, you take that.
Did I get it? Okay. All right. Well, it just keeps getting better.
Spaghetti.
The Sacred Heart Men's Club is hosting their 19th annual Mastaccioli Madness at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Robbinsdale. All-you-can-eat pasta served with salad, beverage, and dessert. Come join us for great food and fun Saturday, October 24th, 4 to 7 p.m. Questions? Call the parish office, 763-537-4561.
Are you in need of a healing? A healing mass will take place Tuesday, October 27th, with a rosary at 6:30 p.m. and mass at 7 p.m. at Mary, Mother of the Church in Burnsville. Father Jim Livingston will be celebrant, and all are welcome to attend. For more information, please contact Deacon Jim Pufold. That's Pufold at Mary, Mother of the Church, 952-890-0045.
A birth mother's retreat in honor and recognition for birth mothers will be at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Edina, November 14th, 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join with other women who made the heroic choice to give their baby to another family to raise. Cost is $15. That includes talks by birth mothers, time to share your story, presentation by a psychologist, as well as continental breakfast and lunch. Questions? Call Melissa Miller, 952-929-3317, extension 111, or visit archspm.org. Click on events.
Curatio Apostolate is holding a retreat designed especially for healthcare professionals. This retreat on miracles of healing and the mystery of hope is being held November 6th through the 8th at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. The retreat will be led by Father Jonah Pollock. Associate Director of the Dominican Friars Healthcare Ministry of New York. For questions, call Marianne at 612-669-4221 or visit www.curatioapostolate.com. Curatio.
St. Hubert Catholic Community in Chanhassen is hosting Sherry Waddell, author of Forming Intentional Disciples, Saturday, November 7th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come grow in your personal relationship with Jesus and learn how to help others grow in their relationship with Him. This event is open to the public. Cost is $25, and that includes lunch and refreshments. Register at sthubert.org. That's sthubert.org.
The Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids is holding their Epiphany Star Bazaar on Saturday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday, November 8th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Admission is free and all are welcome. There will be over 70 crafters, a bake sale cafe. There'll be face painting, kids' corner for kids only to shop for their loved ones. For questions, call 763-862-4356 or visit epiphanymn.org.
And let's take a look at what's coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour.
Well, tune in to the next Rediscover Hour. We're going to talk football. We'll talk with Jordan Roberts, who is both a seminarian at St. John Vianney College Seminary, as well as a star running back for the University of St. Thomas football team. Joining us during the hour will be the head coach of the Tommies, Coach Glenn Caruso, as well as the rector of St. John Vianney Seminary, Father Michael Becker. Listen in to hear how great challenges brought Jordan to the Catholic faith. That's next time on the Rediscover Hour. I think it's the first time we've ever talked about football and the great Tommies team, and we are looking forward to that. Remember, today God is going to give you opportunities to let your light shine in the Twin Cities. Don't keep that good stuff to yourself. Tell people about Jesus. Let Him shine. We'll see you next time.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.